All right, if you'll turn to Galatians 5 is where we'll start, and we're going to continue to look at patience this evening. Galatians 5. Should be thankful about everything and all the time, but I am personally really thankful that even though it snowed a little bit this morning, nothing had to be done about it. I am so thankful for that. So you hold me to it that next time it snows, I need to be thankful that it snowed, right? So, all right. Galatians 5, 22, and we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. And we're going to look at patience again here this evening. Father, thank you for the many blessings you've given to us. We acknowledge freely that all good things come from you. Your loving kindnesses are new every morning. Your mercy endures forever. And Lord, your patience is perfect. And we pray that we would learn to be more patient, especially in ministering to one another. And I pray that you would teach us this evening, that the Spirit of God would illumine our hearts to this truth of being patient in ministry to one another. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, a few weeks ago, we started focusing in on patience. And here is one way to define it. I read several definitions in the past, but let me just read a summary of one that I'm giving here. Patience is bearing up under persistent delays, aggravations, or sufferings without grumbling and retaliation. So patience is bearing up under persistent delays, aggravations, or sufferings without grumbling or retaliation. No doubt, in the last few weeks since we've started looking at this, there's been something or several things that have come up that have shown you again how much you need to grow in this. I know that's been the case for me. We are commanded to be patient. And that, we've looked at two things so far. One is, we're commanded to be patient, and that is to be a reflection of whose patience? Of God's, specifically the Father's and the Son's. We looked at that. Next, we considered, this was last time, on, I guess 2 weeks ago in during the 9 o'clock service, we considered the Christian life in general in relationship to this fruit of the Spirit of patience, and just looked at kind of a catch-all for the Christian life. Patience in a Christian's life is brought about by the power of God. We saw Colossians 1. That's encouraging because we feel so powerless to be patient, right? And patience in a Christian's life is evidence of true love. 1 Corinthians 13. If we're not patient, we're not really loving. And it is to be practiced where? Everywhere, but we looked where? In the church. Because we're saved sinners and being sanctified sinners, and there's reason that we have to be patient with one another, right? All right, and then the next is patience in a Christian life is necessary to come into our future inheritance. And tonight what we wanted to consider is the fact that to minister spiritually to anyone requires what? Patience. In fact, if anything, ministering spiritually to someone over a prolonged period of time shows us more of our need of patience than a lot of other things can. Now, as soon as I say ministering to others spiritually requires patience, there's a danger I need to just get out of the way here. And that is, you may be thinking, there might be some here thinking, right, and that's what the elders do. They minister to people spiritually. Or that's what Pastor John does. And we should, right? But are we the only ones that are supposed to be ministering spiritually in the body of Christ? No. Obviously not. And there is obviously a higher level of accountability and responsibility within the church for the elders, overseers, pastors. Scripture is clear that all believers are to minister spiritually to one another. And we're going to look at five texts tonight. And four of them are specifically focused on spiritual leadership in the church and being patient in ministry. One of them is more general. But that doesn't take away from the fact that this principle is true for everyone. So we can look at the text and talk about elders or pastors and overseers being patient in ministry and recognize that any spiritual ministry means we ought to be patient. We can apply it more generally than just that. So why do I say we're all to be ministering spiritually? Well, Ephesians 4, listen to this. Verse 11 says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets," those are foundational gifts that are no longer in operation today, "and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service." The equipping of the saints, that's all of us, for the work of service. Okay. And it says, "to the building up of the body of Christ until we attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man." Okay. So all of us are to minister spiritually to one another. Now, and even in that passage, it is clear that in God's design within the context of the church, who is supposed to be equipping the believers for that? The pastors and pastor teachers, right? So definitely that's the case, but that doesn't mean they're the only ones doing ministry. That's actually equipping everyone to do the ministry. Romans 15, 14 says this, "And concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another." Paul was convinced that the Roman Christians in general were able also to admonish one another. And there's commands in Scripture about that as well. So I lay that foundation for our study tonight because as I looked at the patience, this topic of patience in the New Testament, there was a clear category that came into focus, and that was patience in ministering spiritually to one another. And that is patience in ministering spiritually to other people, other believers. Of course, that would go on to unbelievers as well, to anyone. There is significance, and it makes sense that the major focus in the New Testament on ministering spiritually with patience is in the office of pastor, elder, and overseer. And we'll see that later. But that doesn't take away the fact that we can all profit from this evening. So the first thing we want to do is turn to 2 Corinthians 6 and see how this works itself out as a theme in the New Testament. First aspect we're going to see from this text, and give you the blank in the outline in a moment. But we've been working through 2 Corinthians in Sunday school. Nathaniel's been leading us through that. And you may remember in 2 Corinthians 6 a listing of things. And I remember specifically some things that were pointed out to us there. And it's helpful to remember that as we look at it again now. If you'll look at chapter 6, verse 1, we can start at verse 1. "And working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no cause for the offense in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited. But in everything," so don't receive the grace of God in vain, and that's the point. And then jumps down, "giving no cause for offense in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited, but in everything commending ourselves as servants of God." So what Paul is doing is what we've seen him do a lot in 2 Corinthians, and that is showing his true apostleship in a contrast to the false apostles and the imposters of the apostolic imposters. And among many other things that Paul does here is he wants to commend himself or show himself or demonstrate himself as a legitimate apostle. And so he lists several things here. One is this. Okay, so he says that the ministry will not be discredited, but in everything commending ourselves as servants of God. How would he do that? Okay, how's he going to commend? Well, here's a list of things. "And much endurance in afflictions, in hardships, in distress, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in purity, in knowledge, in patience." One of the ways that the Apostle Paul demonstrated that he was a legitimate apostle and a true servant of God was his patience in ministry. Now, one of the things about patience in ministry, this is really interesting, Those who are not true servants of God are not really in it for God's glory and for the good of the people. So what happens when the people don't do what they want to be done? They get angry and they get manipulative. And they work at getting their way in an ungodly manner. Right? So he is showing that actually, no, I am patient in ministry. Later, Paul speaks about some of the false teachers. And if you'll remember this, that's kind of an interesting verse, 2 Corinthians 11:20. He is chastising the Corinthians a little bit. And he says, you tolerate it, talking about these people that are imposters. If anyone enslaves you, anyone devours you, anyone takes advantage of you, anyone exalts himself, anyone hits you in your face. And if that's literally, as Nathaniel had mentioned out, it's interesting, right? Well, that's a false apostle that's not patient, right? Would you say that's impatient? Okay. Well, things weren't going his way. Well, they're not going their way, so they become impatient. Well, turn to 2 Timothy 3:10. So the point is this, a mark of a true servant of God is patience in ministry. 2 Timothy 3:10, if you'll turn there. This is another text that shows something very similar. And again, this text contrasts false servants of God and true servants of God. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 9 talk about the those that are false servants. Okay, you could take time to we won't take the time to read all those verses, but if you look at verse 1, but realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, and it goes down and it gives examples. Okay. Of specific examples, look at verse 8. You have two individuals that are given as an illustration of this whole point. But when you get to verse 10, it says this. Now you, Paul talking to Timothy, now you followed my teaching. So what Paul is doing is he's saying, this is how it's going to be. This is some examples of non-servants of God. But you, Timothy, you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, what's the next word? Patience. What Paul is doing is he's saying, look, Timothy, you have followed my example in the past. And by recounting the fact that he followed his example in the past, he's encouraging him to continue to do so now. And one of the things that Timothy had followed Paul for in the past was a patience in spiritual ministry. So, as one commentator puts it, Paul is exhorting Timothy to, quote, wait for results and to persevere in the face of opposition. Wait for results in spiritual ministry and persevere in the face of opposition. So let's think about that for a minute. If we're going to serve others spiritually, we're going to have to be patient. And if at some level we're not patient in service to others, then we're really not serving who? God and the good of them. We're actually serving who? Because when our purposes are violated, we become impatient. Okay? We have to recognize that serving someone for God and serving someone for ourselves can actually get tangled up together. And this is the really deceptive part. Now, false teachers were in it for themselves, period. I would hope that all of us are true followers of Christ and we want to serve other people. We want to start the right way with it. But in the middle of serving someone for the right reason, you can actually start serving for the wrong reason and ministering for the wrong reason. Our motives can fluctuate, can't they? In the middle of service can fluctuate. And we've started off ministering to someone for God and for that person, and then we can actually start ministering for another reason. So the first is ministering patience is an example or showing evidence of being a servant of God. You can put it that way again. Ministering to others with patience is a mark of a true servant of God. Secondly, turn to 2 Timothy. We're there, aren't we? 2 Timothy 4. And this is a pretty famous text, but look what it says, verse 1. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God, Paul talking to Timothy, and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Okay? The instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away from the ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. But you be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So secondly, ministering God's word to others especially requires what? Ministering God's word to others especially requires patience. Very similar point that's being made here, but probably what we ought to do is think of parallel circumstances here. Clearly, Paul's talking to Timothy, who is operating in the function of an elder, of a really a lead elder in Ephesus. He's an apostolic representative of Paul. But let's just parallel that with some things in all of our lives, okay? Think of an area in your life right now where you have been given the responsibility to shepherd someone spiritually. Okay? What would that be? Well, are you married? Then, men, you are given the responsibility to shepherd your wives spiritually. Are you a parent? Then you have been given the responsibility from God, depending on where the age of the child is. But even after that, you can still do what you can to shepherd. But you're given the responsibility to shepherd children, your children spiritually. Are you a Sunday school teacher? Are you a teacher on Wednesday night? Are you an elder or an overseer? Are you a children's church teacher, a Sunday school teacher? Whatever it would be, do you have some area in your life where you have some level of responsibility to shepherd someone spiritually? Are you discipling someone just on a one-to-one basis? Well, that means that you are to have great patience in ministering the Word of God to that person. Now, this is especially true for someone like For elders, pastors, overseers. This is also, I would say, that the heaviest focus in my mind would be on someone like me as well, because I am a primary communicator of God's word to God's people weekly. So this is especially focused on a charge for me to minister with great patience. So what's going on here? What is the main command? Preach the word. Timothy's to be ready to minister God's word, whether it's convenient or not, whether it's a good time or it's not a good time. Right? Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. It may be that it's in season to preach God's word for Timothy, and good, preach it. It may be for him personally, it's out of season. It's not a good time for him to do it, to minister God's word to somebody. He should still do it. It may be that he's to preach the word to people that thinks it's a good time, or that don't think it's a good time. Either way, preach the word. And what is he supposed to do? Timothy was to reprove. What's that mean? To correct someone who's continuing to sin. Okay? To rebuke. That is to censure or prevent an action or bring it to an end, one lexicon says. To rebuke. And he was to exhort. This has to do with urging those that Timothy ministers to spiritually respond to the truth, right? He's ministering to people spiritually. Respond to the truth. Paul told Timothy to exhort people. But what we want to focus in on is the manner in which preaching, reproving, rebuking, and exhorting are to take place. So let me balloon it out. If you're responsible to shepherd people on any level, and really every believer should want to shepherd other believers that are newer in the faith. The mark of a maturing church is that there's more of that going on again and again. Well, you're supposed to be communicating God's word. You're supposed to be reproving, rebuking, exhorting, but all of that with great patience and instruction. You know, those who minister, you or me, we don't get things right away spiritually, do we? Do we get everything just like that? No. So we ought to treat those we're ministering to the way we would want to be treated when we're not getting things exactly the right way. And that takes humility and grace and growth as well. That doesn't mean that while someone is not getting something spiritually that we just are passive, does it? Because Paul is saying to Timothy, do what? Have great patience, but communicate God's word, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. So patience doesn't mean passivity. Patience doesn't mean I'll just let someone go the way of their sin. That's not what patience means. But it means you pursue them with love and patiently working to see repentance in their life and growth in their life. That's really helpful because it helps us see that patience means going about our activity trusting in God, not trusting in ourselves, right? To accomplish your spiritual work through the means of the flesh. Now let me just pause and point something out here for something. This is something you need to pray for with the elders here, that we would be patient. This is exhorted to elders. So this is something to pray about. And I want to just point this out as well. I'm just going to be very transparent on this. For 3 years, I was an elder at Grace Baptist Church in Queens. I was not the lead elder. I was not constantly teaching God's word as the primary communicator of God's word in the church. And I needed patience there. But I've been 3 years here. And I have learned, just like any person who's the primary communicator of God's word, that there is a sense in which there's a greater burden for someone who's constantly ministering the word to need to be with great patience. Because there's this burden that there would be spiritual growth in the church. There's a knowledge of areas that need to grow. And there's a question of, is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? What's going to happen? All right. So the only reason I say that is to say, would you pray for me about that? That I would have great patience in ministry. I need prayer on that. Now, turn to another text with me, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. Here in this text, Paul is actually speaking in general terms, not just to leaders, spiritual leaders in the church, but to all believers. So this is the one text that we definitely see that this is for all of us, though the other texts by application as well. And we know that he's talking to the church in general because at first he talks about how the church in general relates to spiritual leadership. And then he talks about how they are to relate to one another. Look at verse 12 of 1 Thessalonians 5. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord. So he's talking to the believers in general in the church and give you instruction. And that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Now look at this. Live in peace with one another. So he transitions from how they're to relate to leadership to how they relate to everyone in the church, right? So live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. So this is God's people to one another. Be patient with everyone. And what would you call the things that are going on before that? Would you call this spiritual ministry? Admonishing the unruly, encouraging the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Okay, would you call that spiritual ministry? Yeah. So you have spiritual ministry by everyone, and it's all to be done with patience. Same point. So let's talk about that. Admonish the unruly. That means that there will be times where you need to admonish another believer in this church that's unruly. Okay, what is that? What's going on there? Unruly. Out of place, out of order. Let's think of that. If someone comes to you and starts to gossip, you can lovingly admonish them. Okay? Or if someone comes and starts to gripe about the spiritual leadership, you can lovingly, biblically admonish them about going to the leadership. Or or if there's complaining attitude, or if there's whatever it would be, then in love, God would require you to admonish that person. Next it says, encourage the faint-hearted. What does it mean to be faint-hearted? One lexicon puts it this way, one who feels his resources are too small for a given situation. Another said, discouraged. You know, there are those among us, and this is true of all of us at some point in our lives, that we are just susceptible to discouragement. Right? Faint-heartedness. And there no doubt are some among us that maybe that is the particular struggle in their life. It's not a unique struggle. We all struggle with it. But it may be that someone struggles with that stronger than someone else. We are to encourage the faint-hearted. That is a command from the Lord. We're to minister to such people in this body with encouragement. It says, help the weak. There might be someone among us, and all of us have been here, where we are weak spiritually at a moment, and we're just falling into sin because we're weak and we need help. And we need to minister to one another. But there's one more command, and it is to be patient with everyone. So we're to admonish, we're to encourage, we're to help, but we're to do it all with patience. It takes patience to minister spiritually to a person who is unruly in the body of Christ or out of place. That takes a lot of patience. It takes patience to spiritually serve people who are faint-hearted and weak. But what is clear in this text is that no one is an exception to this. We are to be patient with everyone in spiritual ministry. And to not be patient is to go about the way with the flesh. Next, if you'll turn to James chapter 5. James 5. If you look at James 5 verse 10 says this. Well, actually, let me just give you a backdrop here real quick. You'll remember a week or two ago we talked about this text. Verses 1 through 6 talk about how the rich unbelievers are persecuting the worker believers. Okay? And verse 7 says, therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too be patient. Strengthen your heart, for the coming of the Lord is near. So be patient. The danger when you're under persecution is actually to turn on one another. Look at the next verse. Do not complain, brethren, against one another so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, a judge standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. So what Paul does is he's talking to believers who need to be patient in suffering, and he gives them an example. Who does he give as an example? The prophets of the Old Testament. Would you say the prophets in the Old Testament needed to be patient in ministering to people spiritually? Okay? I mean, most of the time, there's a reason why there's one called the weeping prophet, right? Right? They were actually pursued physically because of their faithfulness to God's word. So we're given an example here. So we have an example in this verse of people who are ministering to others God's word. And the point that is made here is that for ministering God's word, the prophets actually were an example of suffering while ministering to others spiritually. And in that, they still were patient. Patient. So a great danger in spiritual ministry is to start off for God as you minister to your spouse or to your family, your children, to someone in this church, to a co-worker, to someone in the community, whatever it would be, to start off the right way. But when they don't respond quick enough, you get impatient. Or I get impatient. That is the danger. And what's interesting is then we try to accomplish spiritual things with what? Not by walking by the Spirit, but we try to accomplish it in the flesh. You won't change, then I'll change you. Can you change someone spiritually? That's disaster. right? You can't do that. You can just faithfully minister. James says this in the context of receiving God's word. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear God's word, slow to speak against God's word, slow to anger about something in God's word. Why? Here's the principle. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. And spiritual ministry, whoever you're ministering to, when they don't respond, the tendency is to become impatient and angry to try to get them to change spiritually. And that will never, ever, ever accomplish the righteousness of God in that situation. So, what are we encouraged about here? Well, God has called all of us to minister spiritually to others in our families, in this assembly, in our community. And ministering spiritually will always take patience. It sometimes will require suffering. Because often those, especially who are in the jaws of sin and temptation, when you give them God's truth, who will they turn on when they turn on God? You, the messenger. But God has called us to reflect whose patience towards people like that? His patience. And we're to have that patience in the context of all of our lives, especially in the church. To minister to others spiritually, we must minister with great patience. And the only way that's going to happen is by walking by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, having the mind of Christ, being filled with the Spirit. That's the only way. Only God can give that kind of ability by His grace. I encourage you, maybe you're struggling with someone right now in your life that you're just trying to encourage spiritually or minister to, and it's just not happening, and you're getting frustrated and you're quitting or you're getting angry. That's neither one of those are the right ways. The right way is to continue to patiently serve them. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your reminders to us about these things. And I pray that each one of us would be, first of all, concerned to minister to one another spiritually and to others. But as we do so patiently. Father, I pray that you would minister these truths to our hearts and show us where we need to change. In Christ's name, amen.